Breaking news. Harris finally gets part in Hamlet. Sod's Law. 5 minutes later, the actor playing the Dane is rushed to hospital due to a broken skull, and Charles is back in limbo.
As I was going over the Cork and Kerry mountains, I saw Captain Ferris.
It wasn't Hamlet's actual skull, but part of a tricksy skull set which collapsed onto the actor. Waiting to find out if, how and when the show would go on, I was stuck, knocking around the house, trying not to annoy Francis.
Up scope. Psst. Down scope.
German destroyer astern, Captain!
Thank you, first. Up scope. Prepare to dive. Battle stations. Dive, dive, dive!
Oh! Your up scope, down scope routine.
I thought you were out.
And now I'm in. Amazing how it works. Loving the captain's hat.
I used to wear it to gigs.
You were so counterculture, now you're more cut cheese counter.
Oi!
You can't do indignant in the nip.
I'm wearing a hat which, you've got to admit, is nautical but nice.
Like a soft pawn, Captain Birdseye.
If I was born 20 years earlier, I'd have been great in uniform.
Pity the baby boomer. Too young to fight.
Not fight, but I was made for black and white. Me, Jack Hawkins, Trevor Howard, on the poop deck in well-cut duffel coats.
Vanity, vanity.
Can't you see me in a roll neck? A picturesque smudge of engine grease across my forehead.
I can see a little more than I'd like now the bubble bar's dispersing. And when I say little, I mean little.
Well, the water's cold. Chuck us a towel. Whoa.
If I get a lodger, you'll have to learn to use the bathroom lock.
Lodgers? Yeah. Are you okay if Geraldine comes for tea on Sunday?
If Hamlet ever got off the starting blocks, Geraldine was playing Gertrude. Only Gertrude needed a place to stay.
To be honest, one actor under my roof's bad enough.
There's a law against thespian discrimination.
Yeah? When you find it, sue me.
I'm an actor. I can't afford to sue.
Exactly. And if the show closes, I don't want two unemployed actors moping around.
I never mope. And who says it's going to close?
Hamlet's in A&E.
Tony Copeland will have Plan B. He's the canniest producer in town. And don't worry about Geraldine. She's one of those polymath actors who also writes and directs. She's always got projects on the go.
I wish you did.
The company had been called in for 10, and I was in my dressing room by 9:45 when Millie, our DSM, gave the call.
All cast to the green room.
Between ourselves, I've just had to see what you can get me with my agent.
Your agent answers your calls?
Well, that's why she takes 10%.
Mine takes 15 and still doesn't pick up. Do you really think this show's going tits up?
Jared's in hospital and Katrina's more concerned with her music career than playing Ophelia. You do the maths.
Yeah.
When he wasn't wearing his producer's hat, Tony Copeland wore his nasty judge hat on Fame's The Game. His company made the show, and he'd cast two of his singing stars, Jared and Katrina, as Hamlet and Ophelia. Now Jared was off the scene, all the profile rested on Katrina's spray-tanned shoulders.
You would not believe my journey.
Every morning late, every morning a new excuse.
Driver overslept. I'd fire him early, sending all his money back to his mum in Belarus. Bless. Where is Belarus?
Tony's unconventional casting was supposed to bring in a new audience. It would also shift more units of mediocre music.
Oh, my days. Did you see the state of Jared's air after the accident? All that blood. I nearly heaved.
I don't think he felt too hot.
But I've got, like, a thing.
A thing?
Yeah, like a real thing about blood.
A haemophobic.
Excuse me, I was nommed for Best Icon of the Attitude Awards.
No, haemophobic.
When I saw all that blood, I swear to God, I thought it was going to chuck. What were we waiting for?
News.
Oh, apparently, Jared's in major pain, but loving the drugs.
Millie had been in the green room as long as the rest of us, so I wasn't sure how she knew so much about Jared's state of health.
Jared said he loved the ambulance and the paramedic dudes are sick. Big up my NHS bros. Smiley face hashtag, Jared's gonna live.
I looked round the green room and it dawned on me that everyone else was staring at screens. Sad face, frowny face, hashtag Charles Paris feels his age.
Ah, right, everyone. Sorry about the delay. Crisis call with Tony Copeland on his way back from St. Lucia.
At some point in rehearsals, all directors hit the wall. And with two non-actors in lead roles, one now in hospital, Ned had hit it more times than a wrecking ball.
Right, you'll have seen from his tweets, Jared's putting on a brave face, which is good news. Bad news is he's broken a leg and fractured a couple of ribs, so there's no way he's coming back.
What are we going to do?
Well, that's what we've been discussing.
Because apart from Ophelia, Hamlet's almost like the lead. I don't know if anyone else has read the old script, but I ran a name check on my tablet and Hamlet's in loads of scenes.
Yeah, I'd noticed that too.
Tell me she's joking.
Kill me now.
So, like, what are we going to do?
Well, Tony and I have agreed we've got to push on with Will stepping into the role.
As the sole star, there was nothing for Katrina to complain about. And Will Portman, RASM slash understudy, was beaming like the Cheshire Cat. Before rehearsals cracked on, I nipped out to Emphysema Alley.
Hello, Will. Joining me for a lungful of London's finest particulates.
If you can give me a light.
Yeah. Congratulations on the gig.
I can't quite believe it.
Well, you've run the part more than Jared.
I suppose.
Hamlet 1 wouldn't tackle a soliloquy without his acting coach and kept leaving early to do shoots for his album, so rehearsals had been a stop-start affair.
You ever played it?
Hamlet, years ago.
Any advice?
Try not to be directed by an old Etonian Trotskyite with personal anger issues.
Ned?
No, Ned's a pussycat. Just do what you've been doing. You'll be fine.
Oh, better be. My old man's flying in from LA for the first night.
While the crew reset, I retired to my dressing room for a few minutes contemplation.
Hi, Morris.
Why aren't you at work?
I am at work.
Then why are you talking to me?
Because you rang.
You shouldn't answer your phone during rehearsals.
I'm not rehearsing.
Oh, you've been fired already?
No. If I was rehearsing, I'd have let it go to voicemail.
Got an answer for everything, haven't we?
Is there a reason for this Kafka-esque phone call?
Jared Roone's trending, and I wanted to ensure you weren't the reason he's in hospital.
Not all accidents are my fault.
Statistically speaking, more happen when you're around, and as I'm on the receiving end, I like to be prepared for the inevitable fallout. How's it working out with Katrina Selsey?
She's Ophelia like I'm Blanche Dubois.
Don't sell yourself short, Blanche.
Why, thank you, honey.
Is she at all tricky?
Blanche?
Katrina.
Put it this way, she believes in her own publicity. Why?
Just showing an interest.
How unlike you.
Diss me at your peril, Paris. Right, I'll let you get back to your whiskey.
How do you do that? There's something of the night about my agent.
Act one, beginners to the stage, please. Act one, beginners to the stage.
Actors usually keep a little something in the tank during rehearsals, but Will's first entrance was full throttle, super unleaded, which made us all raise our games.
Thank you so much, everyone. We'll call that a wrap for today. Notes, first thing tomorrow. Millie, can we run through the Act 2 props?
Well done, Will.
Cheers.
Hell of a performance for a tech.
Well, you know, we open soon. May as well lay out my stall.
You did that all right. As your stage mum, go home and get some sleep.
Yes, mum. Night.
I don't know about you, but I need a drink.
Will's walking around like a dog with two tails. It's like 42nd Street meets A Star Is Born. Variety headline. Understudy takes Broadway by storm.
The kid goes out there and nobody from Little Rock and comes back a star. Providing he doesn't fall on his ass in the process.
Oh, is that a whiff of schadenfreude in the air?
Probably these surf and turf crisps. Do you want one?
Is there no end to your sophistication?
Well, there's no beginning. Help yourself. I do envy you.
Me?
You act, you write, you direct. You've actually got a measure of control over your life.
Oh, I like to keep myself busy.
Well, me too, but I still end up waiting for the phone to ring.
We're all at the mercy of fate, like Will getting his big break.
Yeah, that kind of break's unheard of in my career.
Oh, I've seen it before. I wrote and was in a two-hander when my co-star suffered a complete meltdown and the understudy took over for the whole run.
Was there a fairy tale ending?
Less Disney, more Brothers Grimm. After the run, he went into analysis and retrained as a psychotherapist.
Well, that's what bothers me about Will.
You think he'll become a psychotherapist?
No, I'm worried he's riding for a fall. Let's hope his old man's got fully comprehensive travel insurance.
What's his dad got to do with it?
He's flying in from the States.
Well, we all learn the hard way. Another drink? You're ahead of me.
I tend to be.
Oh, I don't suppose you had a chance to talk to your wife.
Frances, yes, sorry. If you're free Sunday, she'd love you to come over for a chat.
Make sure I'm house trained.
No, well.
Hey, I'd be the same if it was my place. I feel good, I feel bad, I feel happy, I feel sad, I'm
Papa's home.
Back from a hard day's hewing at the coalface of culture.
Why are you tidying my room?
I couldn't find the vacuum, then remembered you said you were going to spring clean.
I said that.
You did.
Had I by any chance been drinking?
Almost certainly.
Right.
In fact, certainly.
Right.
And copiously.
Even so, I'd never expect you to tidy my room.
Nor would I, normally. But when I opened the door, something moved.
Moved?
Scuttled.
That'll be the poltergeist.
No self-respecting poltergeist would put up with your mess. My money's all vermin.
No, something must have fallen over. Wow! I always thought that rug was dusty pink.
No, just pink with dust.
Quentin Crisp says that after the first 4 years, the dirt doesn't get any worse.
Well, he'd clearly never met you. I know nature abhors a vacuum, but you don't have to.
If this is because Geraldine's coming over, she's not even going to see my room.
You're telling me. You know my rules about shenanigans.
There are rules of shenanigans?
Under my roof, there are. First rule of shenanigans, no shenanigans. Second rule of shenanigans.
Ditto.
You got it.
Does that include shenanigans between you and me?
In your dreams.
That's the one place you can't censor my shenanigans.
And this is called an old-fashioned look.
Received and understood. Dinner's sorted, by the way. Just give me 10 minutes for a shower.
And we need to talk about Geraldine.
There was something in her tone I didn't like, especially as I was warming to the idea of house sharing with two formidable women. Blame an all-male schooling.
Ta-da! Shepherd's pie from a posh ready meal shop.
What makes it posh?
The shop sign's painted middle-class grey and there's a sticker on the box printed with the chef's signature.
So, Iceland for the Bowden generation.
That's it. Tuck in and I'll pour the wine.
I've been doing a background check on Geraldine.
Whoa. When did you join MI5?
It's not unreasonable to find out about a potential lodger.
And has the defendant been running a terrorist training camp in Regent's Park?
No. But she has been done for assault.
No way.
Way. Unless there's another Geraldine Rommel in equity. She attacked a journalist outside his flat and was lucky to get off with a fine.
That's bizarre.
She hasn't exhibited a violent personality during rehearsals.
No, and she's had reason with Jared and Katrina prima donnering around the place.
It's all out there on the web.
Well, I can only speak as I find. And I find the idea of a violent Geraldine hard to imagine.
Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt.
Rehearsals rolled on with Will desperate to prove that he had the right stuff to play Hamlet in the West End. Then one morning, Ned gathered us all together for a team pep talk.
OK, you all know our producer, Tony Copeland.
Hi.
Hi.
Now, it goes without saying, it's been tricky since Jared's accident. So, Tony's popped in to allay any rumours. Tony.
Cheers, Ned. First, a massive thanks for all your hard work during this difficult time.
Hear, hear.
I saw Jared yesterday, who sends his love, which brings me to young Will here.
Will!
Yeah. Yay! Shout out for Will. Yeah. I don't know where we would have been without you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So, okay, the clock's ticking and we've got to get our ducks in a row. I've been busting my ass 24/7 to get this show on the road. So, without further delay...
Just like Fame's the Game, Tony ramped up the drama with the pause of jeopardy. All we needed was a pulsing heartbeat.
Please welcome to the stage Sam Newton-Reid, our new Hamlet.
Everyone began to clap. Everyone, that is, except Will, who'd just been eliminated from the biggest break of his life.
Well, I didn't see that coming. Am I missing something? Like, who's Sam Newton-Reid?
Millie's boyfriend.
We're casting boyfriends now, are we?
He's a person in his own right and a damn good actor.
I'm more out of touch than I thought.
I saw him and Millie in a Fringe Hamlet.
Looks like Will's going to puke. I think Gertrude had better console her ex-son.
While everyone else gathered around our new Hamlet, I slipped outside and hit speed dial.
4, 5, 6, you're quicker than I expected.
How the hell did you get a complete newcomer one of the biggest gigs in town?
Ah, Sam's the man of the moment. He's the dude. A bright young talent whose time has come. In my not-so-humble opinion, I'd say we're talking about the new Ken Branagh.
Was I ever the new someone or other?
Of course. Charlie Drake.
I should be so lucky.
I love it when a plan comes together.
What plan?
My new boy in the title role, and my old boy to look after him.
I'm not a child, mind.
Just keep an eye out.
I've got enough on my plate without chaperoning your latest find.
Oh, come on, Charles. Extend a paternal hand of brotherly friendship.
That sounds incestuous.
Incest, schmincest. So long as we keep it in the family. And we are one big, happy family.
Is that what we are?
Of course. You and Sam are part of the Morris Skellen stable. He's a colt and you're a...
Stallion?
Gelding.
I'll geld you.
Yes, this is going to work out very nicely. Whoop, whoop, go Team Morris.
You'd make a lousy cheerleader.
You haven't seen me twirling a baton in my rah-rah skirt.
I don't want that image in my head. And you still haven't told me how you managed to get an unknown actor the lead role.
I'm a brilliant agent.
And?
He's played the part before.
And?
Ned English is his godfather.
Typical.
I'd love to chat all day, but I'm giving a BAFTA masterclass. Ciao!
The rest of the day was spent walking through the play with Sam in place of Will, who returned to his duties as assistant stage manager. I'm decent.
New schedule for you.
Thanks, Millie.
You won't be surprised to see everything's been pushed on, so we won't be opening next Wednesday.
I'd be more surprised if we were.
Ned's put out a press release, but there's so much social media about Jared's accident.
With respect to poor Jared, you can't buy that sort of publicity.
Quite.
And what a break for Sam.
He's so excited. We both are.
She was loyal to her boyfriend, but her eyes gave away a flicker of jealousy. And why not? In that room above a pub, her Ophelia was as powerful as his Hamlet. But Sam was now moving into the Premier League.
If Katrina demands more time off, you might find yourself going on in her place.
Do you think?
She's a turn, not an actress. She's never done six nights a week plus matinees. I'd be amazed if she doesn't start dropping shows.
Maybe. But I wouldn't want to be in Will's shoes. One minute he's playing Hamlet, and next minute he's back checking props.
How's he taking it?
He's putting on a brave face, but he can barely look Sam in the eye, or Ned, for that matter.
Maybe it would do him good if his dad still came over from the States and gave him a bit of paternal comfort.
From what he said, I'm not sure it's that sort of relationship.
After all the excitement, I felt in need of a little downtime before heading home.
Two double scotches, a pint of bitter, and two bags of spicy nuts. Trey?
No, I've got this. Nuts in the pocket. Drink one scotch now.
Ta-da, hands free.
Respect.
I've been doing it a long time. Any chance you could crank the music down?
Oh, sorry, landlord's policy. Seniors usually go upstairs.
Seniors? Cheeky minx. Upstairs was certainly an improvement, and I secured a secluded, snug bonquette upholstered in curiously sticky velveteen. Hunkering down with the Guardian cryptic, I was soon distracted by a tense conversation on the other side of the faux Victorian panel.
You took the job, you got paid, end of.
Yeah, but...
And you got extra for keeping traps shut.
But I'm wondering if I was paid enough...
Don't get greedy, Baz.
The pit bull was unknown to me, but I recognised the voice of Baz, a Metallica-obsessed stagehand with enough steel piercing his face to build a ship, then sink it.
You knew the terms and we agreed the deal.
I didn't think he was going to end up in hospital.
I couldn't see over the varnished partition, but the he in question sounded suspiciously like Jared.
What if he'd been killed?
He wasn't.
He might have been. It's all over Facebook and Twitter and the news.
None of that's your business.
But it is yours.
I hope you're not saying what I think you're saying.
I just think...
Don't interrupt me when I'm speaking. Now listen up. And listen good.
He talked like Morris if Morris had been a hitman for the mob. Having said that, nothing would surprise me about my agent.
Before you open your mouth again, choose your words very carefully. Because if anything you say sounds like you're even considering blackmailing me or my employer...
He left the sentence hanging like an empty noose.
Are you threatening me?
There's a dangerous places. You, of all people, know that it's not unusual for accidents to happen. You look a bit peaky. Yeah, buy yourself another drink. Be good.
Metalhead Baz stood shakily at the bar, a metaphorical chill whistling through the steel tunnels in his earlobes. I couldn't prove he'd caused Jared's accident. On the other hand, the safe installation of the skull set was his responsibility.
two aggressive blokes in a bar doesn't add up to attempted murder.
Maybe not murder.
Maybe not anything.
Jared wasn't killed, but it sounded to me like someone wanted him off the scene.
They said as much, did they?
Not exactly.
But they mentioned Jared's name.
Not his actual name.
So they could have been talking about something completely different.
He said, you got paid extra to keep your mouth shut.
In a Soho pub, that could have any number of meanings.
He also said theatres are dangerous places.
They are when you're in them.
You sound like Morris.
I know you love a conspiracy, but I wouldn't rush out to buy your Sara Lund sweater just yet. She's here.
Sara Lund?
Geraldine.
I'll go.
No, Charles, wait!
She's standing outside.
Don't mention the assault charge.
Really? Damn, that was going to be my opener.
It's bound to come up in conversation.
Is it?
One way or another, it is.
I don't see why.
The woman's been arrested for assault!
We're all entitled to make mistakes.
Don't I know it?
I'm letting her in.
OK, but leave the talking to me.
Oh, boy, I can't wait for this. Hi.
I was about to phone you. I thought I got the wrong Sunday.
No. We were just fighting.
Not fighting?
Not fighting. Arguing.
Discussing.
Discussing who was going to open the door.
Right.
And I won on points.
Well, here I am.
And here you are.
And here I am. Francis.
Geraldine.
Don't leave us standing outside, Charles. Come in.
Thank you. Love that jacket.
Questioning whether this had been such a great idea, I detoured to the kitchen to boil a kettle. And on my way back with the tea, I was pleasantly surprised to hear laughter.
Sounds like I missed a good one. Shall I be mother, as they used to say in drawing room comedies?
It doesn't work with mugs of builder's tea.
And biscuits. Ooh. I even pushed the boat out and bought the overpriced thick ones in boxes. Mm. If I get the wrong ones, Francis roughs me up.
Do not, idiot.
What an idiot. What?
Help yourself.
Actually, before I do... There's something I think I ought to put out there. A couple of years ago, I got into a spot of trouble and, well, I ended up on an assault charge.
Did you?
Really?
I thought it better to tell you now rather than you stumbling over it on the web.
Wouldn't occur to me to look.
You don't strike me. I mean, not strike me.
Charles, it's all right.
I mean, what I mean is...
Well, I don't look like a hard nut.
Yes, well, no.
I'm not, but none of us know how we'll react when we're pushed to the limit.
What pushed you?
A critic.
Bad review.
Actually, it was a good one. I'd adapted a book, but the so-called critic reviewed it as if I just typed up the dialogue. A year of hard work, and I'm like, thanks a lot. So when he was there in front of me in the street, I just lost it.
Good for you.
No, not good.
A critic, Francis.
That's not an excuse for violence.
You're right, and I really took him down.
God, I'd have paid to see that.
No, Charles.
I shouldn't have let him get to me.
What was the play?
It was based on Erica Jong's Fear of Flying, you know, woman trapped in hopeless marriage.
Come and have a look at the room.
And that was that. Done deal. Opening night thundered towards us like a runaway train. Sam was bedding in so well that I allowed myself to think that we might just have a show on our hands. I'll never learn. Tomorrow in
24 hours. Morning.
Just in time for the cabaret.
What is it this time?
Katrina's got to get off early.
But tomorrow's the dress rehearsal.
What's going on?
Katrina's got to leave early.
Tomorrow's the dress rehearsal.
Hi, gang. Oh, what have I missed? Katrina wants time off. Tomorrow's the dress rehearsal.
We know.
Part of no, do you not understand?
What part of good publicity don't you understand?
This I must hear.
Look, there's no point publicising a show that's under rehearsed.
If it's under rehearsed, that's your fault. I've done my bit.
Your bit?
I know my lines and my moves. If the others don't, they can rehearse while I'm drumming up an audience on the Graham Norton show.
But that's not how theatre works.
Without telly, there is no theatre.
What are you talking about?
Well, people only go to see actors off the telly.
She had a point.
And while we're on that, now Jared's gone, I'm the only name in this show, so by rights ought to have the star dressing room.
Sam's in there.
Exactly. Who do you think's going to bring him in? A kid out of drama school?
God, would you listen to yourself? We've got a play to rehearse, and in case you've forgotten, you're under contract to Tony Copeland Productions.
Well, why don't you phone Tony and ask him if he wants me to say no to the sort of publicity you can't buy? Here, take me phone. He's on speed dial.
Ned knew Tony would go for publicity every time. Once again... Katrina got her own way. Dress rehearsal arrived, and to everyone's surprise, Katrina not only arrived early, she also put in her best performance so far.
One double scotch.
Cheers.
Yesterday, I'd have put odds on us closing before we opened, but I've changed my mind.
A good dress augurs ill.
Superstitious, Charles?
No, providing I wear my first night pants.
An image I could live without.
So when are you moving into Castle Francis?
Sunday suited us both and we'll have got through the first few shows. It's me.
Oh, it's from Millie.
Me too. 9 a.m. call for notes.
Ditto. One for the road.
Morning, people. Now, Ned didn't tell you, but I watched last night's dress. And... well done. We're in business. publicity, as you know, I pulled a few strings, got Katrina on Graham Norton the other night, which was great, and ticket sales shot up.
Katrina beamed at Ned, who stared resolutely down at his trainers.
However, from now on, nothing goes out there without my clearance. Understood? Interviews, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, especially Twitter.
Tony swiped his phone, then read aloud.
Hamlet rehearsals, OMG. Does anybody get this stuff? Bored face, frowny face, hashtag Shakespeare's a yawn. Do you understand how the internet works, Katrina?
It was just a laugh to me followers.
Of course. Well, one more laugh and you'll discover that no one in this business is indispensable. Got it? Right, gang, break a leg. First night after show in the Circle Bar.
We sloped off, each to our own displacement activity, anything to detract from first night nerves. 9 hours later, the curtain went up.
Who is to be buried in?
One that was a woman, sir, but rest her soul, she's dead.
Thou dost lie in't, to be in't and say it is thine. 'Tis for the dead, not for the quick. Therefore, thou liest.
3 hours later, including an interval, the curtain came down. After 6 curtain calls, I ran straight up to the number one dressing room, hoping to be the first to congratulate Sam.
Is there a star in the house?
The door was ajar, so I eased it open.
Knock, knock. Are you decent?
Oh, my God.
Blood was on every surface, and reeling back, a dozen quotes from Macbeth flashed through my mind.
Sam!
Who would have thought the young man to have so much blood in him? And then I realised it wasn't Sam at all, but someone else, lying sprawled and lifeless on his dressing room floor.
In episode 2 of A Decent Interval, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Geraldine was Amelia Bullmore, Millie, Rebecca Hamilton, Ned, Brian Protheroe, Katrina, Katie Redford, Sam, George Watkins, Will, Keelan McCarthy, Tony, Ewan Bailey, and Doug, Richard Peppel. A Decent Interval was written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Evans.